and welcome back to the KO Prime podcast. My name is Alina Jenkins, and today's guest is Dr. Dan Schumacher. Dan is a tenured professor in the Division of Emergency Medicine at Cincinnati Children's Hospital Medical Center, where he also serves as co-director of the CCHMC Education Research Unit and Education Research Scholars Program. His career has been dedicated to residency administration and medical education research, and he holds a PhD from the Maastricht University School of Health Professions Education. His research focuses on competency-based assessment, including milestones, EPAs, and resident-sensitive quality measures, or RSQMs, that he developed as part of his PhD work. Dan, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
I'm really interested as to what made you choose this particular area of research.
Yeah. So I think it's a twofold thing. I think first, early on in my career, I was interested in medical education, and I had a mentor that sort of opened the door to learning a little bit more about competency-based medical education. And it really struck me because it is something, as I conceptualize it at least, is something that focuses on the learner, sort of like meeting their needs, helping them in their development, being very learner-centered, you might say. But it also centers the patient. You know, it sort of asks the question, what does someone need by the end of training to be able to have the skills to be able to provide the care that patients need? So that's the one thing. And the second thing is, I had the great fortune of training in a place where I'm back at now that really has a focus on providing high-quality patient care. And I was struck by how sometimes we don't do the best job of that in medical education historically.
Why is it you think that we don't do the best job?
Well, I mean, this might be a little bit scandalous to say, but I think that we do an excellent job of thinking about creating safe learning environments and really focusing on learners, helping them in their development, treating them well. And that's all rightly placed. I'm not saying that those aren't good foci. Those are actually very good things to focus on. But I think that sometimes our focus lands so much there that we forget that we exist for something beyond our training program or beyond medical education, that we actually are ultimately there to also serve the needs of patients. And I think that sometimes that's left a little bit too implicit or backgrounded as opposed to foregrounded.
Yeah. I know that you've made lots of advancements in your research. So what are some of the things that you've done that's helped to improve these situations?
Yeah. Well, I mean, picking up on what I'm talking about, I actually, my PhD work focused on the development of something that I called resident-sensitive quality measures, which are what they sound like. They're quality measures that are sensitive to the work that residents do to serve the needs of patients. And, you know, we develop these because, of course, there are quality measures that exist in general in healthcare. But actually, a lot of them don't really apply to the individuals or don't apply to residents in particular. And so we really felt the need to develop these measures for residents.
Mm. And so where do you see all of this going, Dan? What's your next steps with it all?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. Well, so picking up on the thread that I don't think that we always center the patient as well. I actually think that some of these more what I would call patient-focused ways of assessing learners might be able to help us close the gaps that we have in training. We know that we graduate people that are not ready to provide the care that patients need. We know that people graduate individuals that they wouldn't trust to care for their own loved ones or themselves. And those are pretty sizable gaps that I think we have to close. And I think that assessment approaches that sort of like say, okay, can this person actually provide the care that patients need? Is we need more of those. And we're seeing more of that come out as competency-based medical education sort of like propagates itself. But even with the uptick of competency-based medical education, I don't think that we see enough of this yet. Again, people focus on, oh, CBME, that's for the learner to really like help them with their development. Yes, that's absolutely true. But it's also about the patient, that making sure that development leads to the ability to provide care that patients need.
Yeah, you said that, Dan, that we're passing people who perhaps we wouldn't trust with our own loved ones, or we just don't feel are able to care for the patient in the way that we would want. So what more do they need to do? What are those gaps then that you need to close?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the gaps are pretty central. I think about my own field, pediatrics. We know that about half of graduating pediatric residents aren't able to provide the care for patients presenting with behavior mental health problems at the end of training. This is something as a general pediatrician you would see every day. So when you say like, what are the gaps? They're fundamental things, like core to the specialty, something that everyone should be able to do because they're going to encounter it frequently. And this is just one example. If you go beyond pediatrics, there are a lot of examples of surgeons not prepared to, do common surgeries that they're going to see coming out of training.
Yeah. Why do you think we're in this place? Why do you think these, you know, here we are in 2023, and why are those gaps still there?
Well, I mean, this is how I see the world, but I think it goes back to historically where medical education has placed its focus, which I think is a very internal facing focus in making our programs better. And I don't think that we always give the full thought to, okay, but what is this ultimately in the service of? We sort of like keep ourselves in an insulated bubble and don't think, okay, we're delivering these people on to do something else. What is that thing? I don't know. I mean, obviously it's there, right? But I think it's maybe more implicit than it should be. If we made it more explicit, maybe we would not have these gaps, right? Like now that we know half of pediatric residents aren't prepared to provide mental health care to children, that tells us that like, wow, the curriculum has to change, right? And so there's something in the curriculum that's lacking, that's not preparing them, I think.
Mm. Where do you see your role in all of this? Because you, this is your area of research. This is where you spent most of your career. I know, speaking to some of the others here at Care Prime 2023, is that sometimes there's this sort of moment of serendipity, if you like, and you kind of go off on different paths. Do you see yourself staying in this area, or have you been tempted by some other areas that you might want to explore?
Yeah, no, I think it's a really good question. I actually think I find myself further and further in this area, developing a more and more finite definition of where I want to be going. So yes, I see myself staying in this area. And I'm hoping that because people challenge some of the things that I'm talking to you about right now, I'm hoping that with me saying these messages, that more people will believe that this is actually a problem that we need to address. I think, unfortunately, the CBME movement right now is sometimes not being implemented as well as it could be in a lot of the settings that are trying to implement it. And so people say, well, CBME is not really working, but they're not really implementing it the way that it should be implemented. And I hope that some of the discussions that I have with people can refocus on what should it be and what should the goals of it be, and not are we having implementation issues that we need to work through.
It's interesting that you say that people challenge your thoughts. And of course, science is about disagreement. It's great that we do challenge each other. That's how change happens. I would be interesting to hear from you, what are those things that people challenge you on?
Yeah, it's an excellent question. I think paradoxically, the two challenges that I receive the most frequently are, one, well, we're already focusing on the patient. Why would you suggest that we're not? And then interestingly, people that say, well, why do we need to focus on the patient? That's not the purpose of medical education. And I think that those being my most two common ways that I'm challenged, I think makes my point that we have to put some focus here, because not everyone is on board with that being an important thing to center in medical education, apparently.
Yeah. Do you get it a lot?
I get both of those a lot, actually.
And what are your responses?
There's some of the same things I'm talking to you about, talking about we have gaps in people's abilities at the end of training. And so it's hard to argue that we're centering the patient as well as we could when we're not delivering people that can provide the care to patients that the patients need. So I come back to that. I mean, these are large studies that show these types of gaps, and I think it's hard to argue with that. And also, if you talk to training program leaders, if they're honest with you, they'll tell you, we graduate people that we don't think are ready, or that I wouldn't trust to care for me or my family, or that's concerning.
Mm. Do you feel that this is a U.S. thing, or is it a global thing?
Right. So I situate myself in the U.S. This is definitely a U.S. thing. But I have to tell you, and a lot of the studies that I'm referencing are done in the U.S. But when I talk to people other places, I think this is actually a pervasive problem. Actually, one of my favorite studies about graduating people that they wouldn't trust to care for themselves or loved ones was a European study, actually, not a U.S. study. So I think this is, unfortunately, quite pervasive when I talk to people from around the world.
Yeah. Who's inspired you? You mentioned earlier a mentor that kind of got you started on this. Do you draw from others? Have you been inspired by others?
Yes, absolutely inspired by others. Uh, the, The mentor, who is really a sponsor that I mentioned, is Carol Caraccio, who is now retired, was a huge person in CBME for the U.S. and ultimately for the international community as well. But yes, I do draw inspiration from and like ideas, and I like being challenged by smart people. Early on, as I transitioned from residency administration to research, early on in that process, I really made myself not be afraid to talk to anyone, no matter how big they may seem to be, and to welcome being challenged by them and sort of like how I'm thinking. And I think it's really an example of, you know, iron can sharpen iron, right? I love that. And we in medical education are a community where people are willing to like talk to you, even if they are well-known names in the field, right? They're willing to take that time and talk to you. And that's invaluable for the development of the younger generations.
Your own personal self-awareness is inviting that challenge. I want you to challenge me. There will be some people say, oh, you know, I don't like that. But that's, as you were saying earlier, it's that disagreement in science and sort of being open to those conversations. This is why I love working with the medical education research community, because you are also open with each other, really, really support each other. We were having a conversation last night. I'd be really interesting to hear your thoughts on this. Is that I've spotted that a lot of the KI Prime winners come from Canada. And so I was asking some of the Canadians as to why that is. And they said, you know, we really support each other. Do you think that the US could do more in supporting each other in the community?
Yes. And there are, unfortunately, we really only have a couple of centers that have the ability to try to unite across multiple institutions and develop that community. And so far, because we're so close to Canada, those people haven't done it yet, because it's easy enough for us to tap into some meaningful interactions and relationships with Canadians that I think it might hold us back a little bit. And of course, funding is a problem everywhere, right? A problem for Canada as well. But I think funding for them is a little bit different, that allows these things to be supported in a way that the U.S. just hasn't traditionally seen. And I think it allows them to grow a monopoly, as you say. It's a very good thing for them. We all look up to them.
Dan, I'm really interested in asking everybody this as to what it means for you to be here at the Karolinska Institutet as part of the Fellows Program for 2023.
Yeah, I mean, what an incredible honor to be learning from and with the previous Karolinska Prize winners and people that, look, I have no illusion that I'll ever win the Karolinska Prize, but to be in the community, right, where people are, you know, really pushing you to think differently, to elevate your game, to elevate your research, to elevate how you even think about the work that you're doing and how it positions in the world. I mean, it's exciting, and it's an incredible opportunity.
Yeah. And what are your next steps when you get back home and you're thinking about the year ahead or the next couple of years ahead? What do you see happening?
Well, we actually, I'll just make this pretty personal to the community I'm working in back at home. Some of the work that I'm talking about in terms of more patient-focused assessments approaches, we're actually doing that on a national level, and I'm helping to lead that. And we're on a timeline where there's going to be some consequential stuff that's being done in this area in the next couple of years. And there's a lot of meaningful, hard, fun work to do in the next couple of years to make that happen in our community.
I wish you all the best, Dan. It's really lovely to chat to you. Thank you so much for your time.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
And thank you to everybody listening at home. We'll be back again very soon with another episode of the KI Prime podcast. Until then, take care. Goodbye.